Are you excited to be here this morning?
Yes.
That didn't sound very convincing. I think what we need to do is fire up one of them CDs that the kids were singing to and let the handful of kids that are here that were here all week show what excitement really is. I think there's about 10 of them here. They could show more enthusiasm and excitement than perhaps we feel this morning. Kids, you ready? Ready to do that? You should. Simon, find one of them, one of the songs that they sang this week. After we pray, will you, buddy? We'll show you excitement here in just a few minutes. As Richard said on Friday night, with nearly 100 kids standing here on the stage, yelling out in excitement, their enthusiasm for Jesus was palpable and touching to our hearts. They were excited to worship. They were excited to sing. They were excited about what they learned. And I hope that that's how you feel about Jesus. If we get up on Sunday morning and just feel it's drudgery, oh, I got to do that again, we need to look to our little ones for excitement. Now, I understand that you could be here this morning like my wife and think it's Tuesday. We've had a long week, and I had a tough night. I had a gallbladder-less attack during the night, threw up for 2 hours, got up and did my devotions and was praying and fell back asleep. And she got up at about 7-ish, very tired because we've had 5 little bitty ones in the house all week. And she came out and asked me how I was, and I said, well, I don't feel that good. She said, well, you need to go back to bed and slow down. I said, not today, though. It's Sunday. She said, it's Sunday? Yes, it's Sunday. And we need to go to church. After all, we are the pastor and his wife. So I suppose you could feel like that, and you feel like it's Tuesday, and you don't have to be excited, but it is exciting to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You got it ready, brother? I'm going to pray, then we're going to invite all the kids to come right up here and their song leaders and show us what excitement is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good day. It's a good day because it's your day. It's a good day because we've had a blessed week in Vacation Bible School. It's a good day because we live in the freedoms of America. It's a good day, Father, because you have not changed. Our circumstances do from time to time. Our bodies get sick. Sometimes we even lose our loved ones, like has happened this week. But you have not changed. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. And we have come here this morning, Heavenly Father, to worship you. And so help us to focus on that. Help us to look to you. Help us to hear from you. Help us to sense in this place today your presence all over again. Help us to be revived in our spirit, not in this church only, but in your church, O God. May there be revival of souls. May there be revivals of the heart. May there be healing in bodies, Catherine's and many others. May you be glorified in everything. May you be glorified, and we give you praise and honor in everything, Heavenly Father, in the good days and in the hard days. May you receive glory. You are God alone. Thank you for today. Thank you for the strength for today. Thank you for this 100-plus kids that came last week. And the looks on their faces Friday nights, shouting for joy, the songs that they learned. Thank you for them. Thank you for the staff that made it all possible in preparation and teardown and everything in between. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have you to call upon when we hurt, when we are heavy laden and our burdens seem too heavy to bear. Thank you that we have you to come to again and cry out to in pain and heaviness of spirit and anguish of heart. We have you, Heavenly Father, who is the burden bearer, who is the forgiver of our sin, who is the restorer of life, who is the giver of eternal life. We have you to come to. Thank you, Father. Guide us this morning. Guide churches everywhere to a closeness to you that's real and transformational. Guide us, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Today, tomorrow, and always may we bring you glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, if you are here this VBS, come. Come. Show them what it's like to be enthusiastic and excited. You see, it won't matter to them. They don't even know what they're going to sing. Take it away, kids.
Looking out, it's a pretty big world. Where do I go? How do I fit in? Gotta keep this one thing on my mind. Maker of all the universe is on my side. And if God is for me, who can be? Who can be against me? God is for me. Who can be? Who can be against me? He is my strength. He is my friend forever. God is for me. Who can be? Who can be against me?
If you have your Bibles, turn to them to Proverbs chapter 4. Today we are going to welcome a number of new members to Motley Free Methodist Church. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about belonging. We really don't push people to become members here. We invite them to become members. We invite you, if you'd like to become members of the church here, we invite that more than we push. And so we're going to just talk a little bit about belonging today. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of that from time to time, because you remember the saying that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? You remember that? Well, that's really true. And I would maintain today that if we don't stand for Jesus, we will fall for something. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that with that in mind, looking at some verses in Proverbs chapter 4. And so let me just say this. Let me make very, very clear to you today. Church membership is not the way to heaven. Okay? We get that, right? Jesus is the way to heaven. As Martin Luther said so long ago, grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone, is the way to heaven. Glory to God. And so church membership is a wonderful thing. It's a sense of belonging, but it is not, okay, I'm a member here now, and I should be good to go. You need Jesus to be part of the kingdom of God. And so, let me be clear about that before we get too far. We ask our members in the Free Methodist Church to be born again. That might be strange terminology to some, but we ask them to be born again because that's what Jesus said, after all, in John chapter 3. We ask our members to walk as Jesus walked. You mean, Jim, we can't walk, say we're Christian and walk like the world? Well, we can, but that's not much of a witness, and that may not even be born again. We ask our members to walk as Jesus walked, reflecting Him day in and day out in our lives. We ask our members to be committed to the church and to be involved in the church and be faithful here and helping us any way that God has gifted them. We do ask members to do all that because that's what the Word of God asks all of us as followers. Amen? To walk as Jesus walked. And so, friends, let me just say this. If the world still has a grip on you, it's time to repent. Because when Jesus encountered the woman at the temple that day, when they threw her down before Him, and you know the story unfolded, they accused her of adultery, caught in the very act, and they wanted to stone her, they wanted to kill her on the spot, and Jesus' final words to her were, you all know what they were, go and sin no more. That's what He calls of the church. That's what He calls of people who profess faith in Christ, to go and sin no more. That's what we ask of our members. That's what we ask. That's what God in His Word is asking of all of us. And so, do we ask a lot of them? Yes, but no more than the Word of God does. No more, no less than the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, couple of verses there. Good advice for members and followers alike. I'm starting at verse 14. Solomon writes, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Let me just give you a little example here. A lot of opportunities we have in life. You know what I'm saying? Opportunities in the church, opportunities outside the church, opportunities to go places and do things and be involved in all kinds of things. Some of that is healthy, some of that is not. You know what I'm talking about? Good advice here for people that claim the name of Jesus. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk down that pathway like the wicked are doing. And do not walk in the way of evil. That is advice for the church. Avoid it, that path. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. You remember the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when He said that that road that leads to destruction is a very broad road. Solomon is saying here, do not travel on that path of wickedness. That's the path the world is on. That's not for the believer. Will we find ourselves there inadvertently from time to time? We may. But that should not be our natural tendency to be drawn to the path of the wicked. We should not travel on that. We should not even desire to be on the broad road anymore. We have been born again. Turn away from that, Solomon says. And so I challenge us this morning, followers of Jesus, I've said this a lot of times, if we don't let the Word of God mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus, the world will mold you and shape you. That's why Solomon says what he says. Don't enter into that evil path. Don't enter into that wicked way, because the world will shape you into its mold if you let it. Verse 23, same chapter. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, spring the issues of life. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 8 when the disciples were eating bread and in the opinion of the Pharisees with dirty, defiled hands. And Jesus said to them very clearly, it's not what comes into our mouth, But out of our mouth that defiles us. Out of our heart is what defiles us. Proverbs says it this way, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Jesus said, out of the heart raises sexual immoralities and debauchery and envy and strife and murder, and all this stuff comes out of the heart. Solomon says, keep your heart, Christians, with all diligence, for out of your heart springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Can you see what he's saying? Similarly to what James said, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. How can this be, James said? It shouldn't be that way for the Christian. Watch what you say. Guard your mouth. Put away from you that deceitful language, that speech that is tearing down. Put that away, he says. James said it this way, one minute you're blessing God, and the next minute you're cursing man. That's not how it's supposed to be. Solomon's saying the same thing when he says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and your perverse lips. Let that be far from you. Let your eyes look straight forward and your eyelids look right before you. Solomon writes here, I think about lust and covetousness. Stop looking around at what you don't have and start being grateful for what you do have. Protect your eyes, men and women alike. Don't let covetousness and lust overtake you. Let your eyes stay looking straight forward and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, he says, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. I conclude with this, walk as Jesus walked. That's what we've been saying through this whole everyday living series. Walk as Jesus walked. If you are wondering if your behavior on Friday night or Monday morning or anywhere in between is godly or worldly, ask yourself this question, am I walking as Jesus would have done? That's what he calls of us. This is the instruction for the followers of Christ. Membership in a church is secondary to committing to follow Jesus. Listen to me, friends. We're in times in America that are upside down today. You know what I'm saying? You've read some headlines? If the church will not stand on the rock of Jesus, we will fall for anything. We must stand upon the rock of Jesus. We must stand upon the Word of God, or we will be swept away in the cultural norms of the day. We must stand for Christ. Members and non-members, Christians, followers of Christ, we must stand upon the rock of Jesus, or we will be squeezed into this cultural norm of the day. Let me give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. When I say the world today is upside down, there is a movement today. I read all this week. These are headlines. There's a movement among churches today to make Mary, the mother of Jesus, co-redemptrix with Jesus in matters of salvation. That's a word that has been created to allow Mary to be co-author of salvation with Jesus. There is a movement of that today. There are people that would encourage, are encouraging Pope Francis even, to declare Mary co-redeemer with Jesus the Christ. Our world is upside down. And if we don't stand for Christ, we will fall for anything. In Rollins College, right down here in Winter Park, Florida, a young man, Christian, was suspended from college because he challenged his teacher, who happened to be a Muslim lady, when the teacher declared in the class one day, Jesus, and I quote, Jesus' disciples did not believe that he was God ever, or that he actually died on the cross like Christians claim, was her quote in the class, in the college room. The young man stood up and questioned her on that. He questioned her from his standpoint, a biblical worldview. The teacher then went on to give him a failing grade. And then she went on to the police and turned him into the local police department. And then she turned him into the dean of safety because she felt unsafe in the classroom from her student. Long and the short of it is, the dean summoned the student and told him he was making Rollins College unsafe because of his difference of opinion from his teacher. And they suspended him from the college. When I read this story, I asked myself, is this the United States of America? We can't even speak up if we have a biblical worldview or we're cast out of college. The world is upside down. If you don't stand for Christ, you will fall for anything. Have you heard of the organization A Common Word? Has anybody heard of that? A Common Word. Let me enlighten you. It is an organization being promoted by Islamic and Christian leaders. According to Dr. Mark Christian, that's his new name. He was a former imam in a Muslim synagogue, whatever you call it. But his new name now is Dr. Mark Christian because he has turned to Christ and been born again. Here's what he says, and I quote, "A Common Word, the Islamic Society of North America, started by the Muslim Brotherhood, continues to ask Christian leaders to sign on to an agreement that promotes unity between Islam and Christianity. If it would end there, that's not a bad thing." But it doesn't end there. It ends with, according to and based on the Quran alone. Do you remember what Paul said in the New Testament in Corinthians, in the letter to the Corinthians? "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what purpose does light have with darkness?" Do we remember that? We're upside down. If we don't stand for Christ, we'll fall for anything. In a Pennsylvania school not long ago, a seventh grader was undressing, getting in the locker room, getting ready for his Phi Ed class, when he looks up and there's a young lady undressing in the same room. The young boy complained to his parents, and he complained to the teacher, and the first thing the school said to him, "Tolerate it. Tolerate undressing with a girl in the locker room and make it as natural as possible." So his parents went to the school board, and the school board said to them, "We are a school that is all inclusive." We are upside down in society today, and if we don't stand for Christ, we will fall for anything. Or how about the University of California's entrance papers now? If you're going to join up with the University of California, they will ask you not if you're male or female, but one of six options. Not just male or female any longer, but one of six options. I could go on. I could go on, but it's kind of depressing when you consider the headlines of a recent magazine that said, "Mother of four becomes a man while her daughter becomes a boy." It begins to get a little depressing when you read headlines that read, "Oregon judge declares man to be asexual, which means he's neither a male or a female." It gets a little depressing when you read headlines that say, from a pastor, transsexual pastor, when he declares that God is a transsexual. And so you see, friends, if you don't stand on the rock of Jesus, you may fall for anything. And I suggest to us as people of God, we stand upon the rock of Jesus and His Word, because His Word has not changed. And so we ask our members to subscribe to, yes, the Word of God. We ask our members to subscribe to it and to adhere to it. We in the Free Methodist Church USA, whether it's in Motley or McConnell or somewhere in between, we use this as the final authority. And so I guess my point today simply is this, friends. Being a member of a denomination or a religion or a church does not get you any place except to a building on Sunday. But if you want to be part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Repent of sin. Recognize that we are in fact sinners and we need a Savior. Repent, believe, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's being born again. We ask members to be born again. We ask them to have been baptized. We ask them to commit to the church. We ask them to write out their testimony so we can see a little bit about their spiritual journey. And today it is going to be our pleasure to invite some more of you to membership here today. Let me invite you two couples up front, Greg, Sherry, Mike and Susie. Let me invite you up here as we welcome there will be more at the second service. We're going to ask them some questions. It's not a test. The answer is already on there. So you should get it right. We have gone through some Free Methodist history and instruction with these and others. They have told us about their journey, their faith journey with Jesus. And so today we have invited these, and there'll be some others at the other service that we welcome into membership also. And so into this holy fellowship, the persons that stand before you who have received first and foremost Christ as Lord, the sacrament of baptism, they have learned some of the nature and the privileges and the duties who have been instructed in the teachings and the mission of the Free Methodist Church. These have been approved by the local board of administrations. Come today to you, the rest of the congregation, members and non-members alike, to be welcomed into membership. We now propose in the fear of God to question them as to their faith and purpose, that they may know that they are ready to admit it into this church. And so, friends, you have put your faith in Christ. You have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and now come to be received into membership of the Free Methodist Church. I and we rejoice with you to welcome you here today in all God's mercies that have brought you to this hour, and we join our prayers with you as you make this sacred undertaking. And so I'm going to ask you these questions. I will look to you individually for the answers. Beginning on my left, first, do you have the assurance that God has forgiven your sins through faith in Jesus Christ? And do you believe the Bible is God's written word, uniquely inspired by the Holy Spirit, and do you accept its authority for what you must believe and how you must live? Thank you. Do you resolve by God's grace to be Christ-like in heart and life, opening yourself fully to the cleansing and empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Scriptures, and the nurture and the fellowship of the church? And do you accept the Book of Discipline of the Free Methodist Church with its articles of religions, membership, covenant, and its principles for the lives of its members and the governance of the church? And lastly, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, will you embrace the mission of the church within and beyond this congregation? And will you join us in giving sacrificial of your time, talents, and resources to help us carry out that mission? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I offer you each the right hand of fellowship. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, and welcome to the membership of the Motley Free Methodist Church. First and foremost, they are members of God's body because they've been born again. And now they are members of our fellowship here. Let's welcome them this morning. Thank you. Friends, there are things in life that will break our hearts. There are things in life that we will shed many tears over. I've shed my share of them this week, and we will shed more throughout the summer. But when you know Christ and you stand on the rock of Jesus, you can say, regardless of the storms that assail around you, it is still well with my soul. And until you know the rock, it'll never be well. If you don't know Him, call upon Him today. You must be born again. Call upon the Master today, and so it can be well with your soul. Richard, close us in prayer. Will you, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank You that it can be well with our souls and that we can rely and trust in You today. Heavenly Father, I pray You would go with us this week, Lord, as we face troubles and trials and joy and happiness and all the things of life, Lord, that we trust in You in everything and we look to You and give You glory. No matter what, Father, we lean on Your strength and Your wisdom. Protect us, watch over us, bless us this week in Your name. Amen.